Now, if my pelvic floor is too tight, or one side is rotated, or I don't know, I had a birth trauma, an emergency C-section, or a perineal tear, or literally anybody that's been pregnant is still in what's called the open birth position.
Motherhood is beautiful yet challenging. You may be feeling lost in motherhood, but I'm here to tell you that no matter what season of motherhood you find yourself in, every mom has a unique journey that is worth experiencing. So if you are a mom feeling overwhelmed, are struggling with mom guilt, want to be more confident, and are looking for ways to find you again, know that you are not alone. Every mom will come away with connection, knowledge, and tangible tools to integrate into her own motherhood experience. You deserve to be confident in motherhood with all of your experiences that make you who you are. So let's get started on being real, vulnerable, and step into community with each other. This is Experience Motherhood. Welcome to today's podcast episode brought to you by Mrs. Push. Because every mom deserves to be celebrated. But what exactly is a push present? Maybe it's a term that slipped under your radar, or perhaps your little ones aren't so little anymore, yet you still crave that special piece of jewelry to commemorate them. A push present is much more than just a gift. It's a heartfelt gesture, often in the form of exquisite jewelry, bestowed upon a new mom by her partner, recognizing and honoring her incredible journey through pregnancy and childbirth. I'll admit I was oblivious to this concept of a push present when I welcomed my first child into the world. But by the time baby number three arrived, I knew I wanted something meaningful, like a necklace adorned with the initials of all my precious little ones. And that's where Mrs. Push comes in. Founded by a fellow mom of three, Mrs. Push is your one-stop destination for all things push presents. If you haven't had the pleasure of meeting Melissa, the visionary behind Mrs. Push, I highly recommend tuning into episode 42 of this podcast, where she shares her inspiring entrepreneurial journey intertwined with the joys of motherhood. Every mom deserves a token of appreciation that transcends generations, and that's exactly what Mrs. Push offers. Their collection is meticulously curated, featuring the most exquisite jewelry pieces, and the best part, they specialize in customization, ensuring that your piece is as unique as your journey. And here's a little treat for our listeners. Use the link provided in the show notes along with the code MOTHER to enjoy a generous 15% off your purchase at Mrs. Push. So why wait? Make your mom jewelry dreams a reality today by visiting Mrs. Push, because every mom deserves to sparkle and shine. Hello and welcome to today's podcast episode. We are going to get in the nitty gritty of our physical bodies as moms. And I am super excited to have Dr. Amanda Thompson here. She is a pelvic therapist and she is going to teach us all kinds of things that I would imagine you had no idea about because I certainly did not. And I'm hoping to gain so much knowledge and information from her as well as. And I would love to also hear her story because that's kind of our whole point on this podcast is experiencing motherhood uniquely. And I'm just so excited to have you on today, Amanda. So welcome and tell us a little bit more about yourself for those that don't know you.
Thank you so much for having me here. I am so excited to dive into this topic because I am so passionate about it. First of all, my name is Dr. Amanda Thompson. I am a pelvic floor therapist and I am based out of Texas. I actually live in the northwest side of DFW and in North Texas, but I'm originally from the Houston area. I completed my undergrad at Texas A&M University and I got my doctorate at UNT Health Science Center. I started working early on in a rural hospital, meaning I did everything from neuro to ortho to acute care, kids, you name it. But when I was pregnant with my first child, which was an adventure in and of itself, which could be another complete podcast episode, but my son, I had a lot of infertility issues. So my oldest is actually my little science project, and he's an IVF baby. So through that process, going through that process as a healthcare professional, knowing all of my dreams and aspirations to be an athletic physical therapist in the sports performance world, when I was going through my fertility journey, I actually realized how much lack of knowledge and lack of effort was made to our physical bodies and our mental health throughout that journey. But what really triggered me was the birth. So after I had my son, again, I realized you can never prepare for your first child and the second one. But I really struggled with access to care, and even my questions that I had for my provider were not answered. So I took it upon myself to discover answers, and it took me a long time to be able to discover the answers, put the puzzle pieces together, and really be able to validate people's issues, their chronic pain, their leakage, their constipation, pretty much anything that they were dealing with. I was able to discover the puzzle pieces. And so I set forth and trying to make my own process. Through this journey, I was working at a hospital-based outpatient, and it wasn't until my son was starting kindergarten, which was 2 years ago, that I really kind of eye opened to the fact that I did not want to be in the hospital setting anymore. I was not able to treat my patients the way I wanted to. I was not able to make them as much better as I wanted them to. I wanted to move them past just getting them out of pain. And so that's when I opened my own practice in February of 22, I think.
That's
February.
amazing,
Yes.
though. Yeah, I
February of
mean,
22.
I think it's so interesting when I hear moms in particular, when our questions and we're not getting the answers that we want, it's like, mama bear comes roaring out in a sense. And, we got to figure it out, which is frustrating that we have to do that for sure. But I love to hear, like your story. You were like, my answers are not getting, answered, or my questions aren't getting answered. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get these answers because I think they're important. And now you're turning it into a completely different shift from leaving the hospital and going into your own work and getting to treat people the way you want to treat them. And I think I like that you said that because I hear that a lot in the mental health field too, where our hands are so tied by insurance companies. And it's just like, how many clients and patients can you see as quickly and fast as you can? And it's like, it is not helping anybody. It's not good for the healthcare worker, and it's certainly not good for patients. So I like that you're like, I'm not going to do that anymore. Watch out, world.
Right. Well, it took a push from a certain friend of mine, Taryn, and she hopefully will be on your podcast as well, but she was the friend that pushed me and made me really realize that I could do it on my own and I could provide the services that I really wanted to without being tied down by a lot of other factors. A lot of it is insurance based. It's a hospital setting, so you are required to meet a certain quota. And if you don't, you basically get your hand slapped. And I got my hand slapped a lot. I wrote a lot of letters to insurance companies. But COVID is really where I went kind of on another level because I was a essential employee. So I worked 60-hour work weeks. Both of my kids stayed in daycare. I did not have the same COVID experience as a lot of people did. I worked in inpatient rehab. I worked in acute care. I worked in outpatient. Everybody else was furloughed or cut half time. And I was worked harder. My kids, unfortunately, which is good, they don't know that COVID even happened because they were still at daycare from 7 a.m. until almost 6 p.m. So that was a big turning point. And so after things got lifted, after surgery started coming back, it was a big eye opener. And then when my son started kindergarten, I realized, oh my gosh, like I missed an entire season of my kids' lives. And COVID, on my perspective, took more away from my family than it did give me the experience to be able to spend time with my family. So that was kind of the driving factor, was the kindergarten, which my daughter just started kindergarten this year. So I thought I was started my practice, and I have dreams of like going to all their things and the Thanksgiving meal and the parties. I still miss a lot of stuff because I am still running a business, and I'm treating patients, and I'm still rolling and going. But I do hope that I can build something that is going to be beyond me and beyond my individual goals, because I really have big aspirations for not just my community, but everywhere, I guess.
Yeah. Walk us back a little bit. You know, when you decided to specialize specifically working with women, and I think mostly moms, right? Because of the birth situation. You know, how did that come about? How did that journey really start of like that passion? Was it when you found those answers that you couldn't get yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, nobody knows about this? Or tell us a little bit more about what it is that you're doing and why you're so passionate about it.
So it does start even further back than I mentioned. So I grew up as a gymnast. I grew up around other people's lives and schedules, and I had more strength than probably the majority of my high school, even some of the guys. I also am very flexible. Well, then you move to college and you don't exercise the same, you don't eat the same, and I partied a lot my freshman year. So I ended up having a lot of SI joint pain. SI joint pain that was debilitating to the point where my senior year of college, I could not sit down in my class. I had to stand up in the back of my classes. I was blind as a bat. I'd never been to the eye doctor, so I couldn't see the projector. Back, was nobody had laptops then, by the way. Well, some people had laptops, but we're talking like 05-ish,
Yeah.
06-ish. We didn't have
Wasn't as
laptop. People
common.
didn't
Yeah.
know. You printed it off. So I sat in the back of the class. My SI joint pain was horrible. At the time, my husband and I were dating, and he lived 4.5 hours away from me. We did the long distance thing for 3 years. And I drove a lot on weekends. And so I had unremitting SI joint pain that nobody could figure out. Nobody could figure it out. And again, I hadn't had kids yet. And so my journey to help people with SI joint pain started with that. And then move into between undergrad and graduate school, I found a physical therapist that did a different technique. Anyway, she could get my pain at least manageable. And moving to when I was in graduate school and started connecting the dots of why her techniques were working for temporary. But it wasn't until I had my own fertility journey and my own pelvic health issues, which I'll get into in a minute, that I connected the dots. And it's been a journey of 20 plus years of puzzle piecing to get my techniques down. But when I was at the first job that I had, it was a hospital-based clinic, but I did outpatient, inpatient, and acute care. Basically, I had two new grad PTAs that pretty much did all the post-ops and some of the basic patients, but I would get these SI joint pains that were a little more chronic. I would get these random pregnant patients. I would r randomly get pubic symphysis pain. And I started connecting the dots of the connection, but I still wasn't getting them all the way better. Then when I had my own kids and realized the need, it was definitely something I never thought I'd be doing. Based on my history as a gymnast, I wanted to do athletics. And so I started realizing the need that there's so much lack of knowledge in my area. I started teaching a pregnancy and postpartum class, basically a labor and delivery class, teaching people how to labor correctly. And that was all taken with courses. And needless to say, that actually didn't formulate very well. Very few people showed up. It just didn't seem like people wanted to be proactive about their health. So it led me to this like w winding journey of never really getting that to kick off. COVID really ramped up the social media. And so if we remember what happened during social media explosion was these pelvic floor therapists especially were going live online and just educating, educating, educating. And so for years, I was like, I would send my patients, I'd be like, you need to follow so and 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 so. They have really good information. Because at the time, if I provided my personal stuff, then I would get my hand slapped. It took a lot of courage and encouragement to be able to start my own and then transition to just educating. But my passion comes from my own history of chronic SI joint pain. But really, when I had my son, had my birth trauma, and started connecting the dots of that pelvic floor tension is the problem of leakage, and the SI joint is actually pelvic floor dysfunction. These topics are not discussed and they're definitely normalized in the conversation. So, trying to really catapult the world and just educating that what you're experiencing is not normal and it's okay to seek treatment for yourself. I think in the mom journey, the mom guilt comes into like, I'm just trying to keep baby alive. Baby's sick. Baby's not eating well. You know, I had tongue tie with my son had tongue tie issues. We had a lot of feeding issues. He was sick all the time. He was in daycare from the time he was 6 weeks old. And so I was working back to working six at 6 weeks when he was 6 weeks old. So I entered the work world really quickly. And I still continue to have issues, but I avoided a lot of things personally. So I avoided exercise. I avoided bladder irritants. I avoided anything that would increase my stress to try to decrease my stress, which did not work, by the way. But my own experiences of, you know, transitioning from zero kids to one kid, going through the infertility journey, going through issues myself in specifically chronic SI joint pain. I never experienced pelvic pain myself. I didn't tear with either of my kids, but the connections I found with a lot of my clients was pretty astronomical. And then the leakage component for me, I have a really significant pelvic organ prolapse. So we can dive into that if you want to. And I refuse to have surgery because my issues, I see all the patients that have all the problems post-surgery. So I chose a different route to resolve my issues. And so I always tell patients when they come in, they're like, I have a pelvic organ prolapse. And I observe, I assess it, and I can dive into a little bit deeper, literally, of their dysfunction. And I'm like, oh, girl, no, mine's way worse than that. And I'm asymptomatic. So if my prolapse is way worse than yours, then 100% we can resolve your issues. And so I think that brings confidence for my patients that I've experienced issues myself. It brings confidence that I have a lot of experience. And then my secret weapon actually is my physical therapy assistant. She is my golden ticket for people to completely get better and resolve their issues without any return of symptoms. I'm really good at getting people out of pain and getting that initial dysfunction under control. And she's really good at keeping people out of pain and getting them to the point where they never need us again. And that's really where the biggest difference between, in specifically a hospital-based setting, and us is, and I think a lot of private practice pelvic floor therapists are the same way. We don't want you to come back. We don't want you to be our lifelong patient. We want you better as quickly as humanly possible. And I want to see you, you know, exercising or whatever on social media if you're not local to me. So that was a really long-winded answer. I'm sorry.
No, but really interesting. And I guess for myself, and I'm sure for a lot of listeners, can you just kind of highlight briefly, like, what are some of the top concerns? Because you've talked a lot about these different kinds of pains, and I'm super unfamiliar with them. Like, what are they? And like, how would we know even, like, how would I know I need to go see you? Like, because I think you're right. Us as moms, we often push ourselves to the back burner. We've talked about that before on this podcast, and it's so important though for our health. So not only our mental health, but our physical health. So
touch base a little bit on some of those most common things you see, and like, how would we know we need to go see a pelvic floor therapist?
Let's pause our episode for just a minute. As I've been sharing in today's episode, if you want to help your kids be the best they can be, which I know you do, it ultimately does start with taking care of yourself. Something that has really made a difference for me in my motherhood journey is moving my body. Whether it's a walk outside, doing some cardio, or building strength, it 100% improves my mental health and allows me to be my best self for my kids and family. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Expecting and Empowered. This is the program I wish I had early on in those motherhood years. All you need is 30 minutes or less, and these workouts will change the way you view exercise. Whether you are pregnant or postpartum, Expecting and Empowered is here to support you every step of the way. Even if you are years out in your postpartum journey, like myself, it's still an amazing app with loads of resources. Each workout is crafted to address the unique needs of pregnancy and postpartum recovery, helping you build strength, improve flexibility, and boost your overall well-being. But it really is more than just a workout program. It's a supportive community of moms just like you. Share your experiences, ask questions, and celebrate victories together. Because here, you're not alone. You're part of a tribe of strong, empowering women on the same journey. So whether you're looking to stay active during pregnancy or regain strength after childbirth, or just have some time for you, Expecting an Empowered app has got you covered. It's time to embrace this incredible chapter of your life with confidence and strength. So if you're an expecting mom or postpartum mom ready to embark on a fitness journey that's as unique as you are, head over to expectingandempowered.com right now and use my special code EXPERIENCE to get a discount off on a yearly subscription or a monthly subscription. When you take care of yourself, it allows you to take care of your kids. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
So I think the biggest, I'm going to go through my top diagnoses per se that I do treat. And so the number one, I would say, is leakage. Leakage is the most common symptom people face after they deliver a baby. But most people say, well, my mom and my grandmother also had leakage. So it's just genetic. Also, my patients will say, well, my mom just said once you have a baby, you just laugh and or sneeze and pee yourself. And that's like the running joke of the family. And no joke, I have seen on America's Funniest Home Videos a winner because grandma was laughing so hard she peed herself and she won, which thank God she won $10,000 for peeing herself on national television. But it's such a normalized conversation that doesn't have to be. So I always put in perspective when I do public speaking that the number one reason people are admitted to nursing homes is because they have urinary or fecal incontinence. So although it's funny or embarrassing now, when we get to be where we're 80, are our kids and grandkids going to put us in a home because we can't control our bladders? So that's not always the situation or the absolute reason of that. But what if I told you at 60, I could have prevented you from having a bladder prolapse surgery when you first had your child? What would you do? Would you do everything you could? Although you may not be horribly symptomatic, and maybe it's just when you have a full bladder, or maybe it's just whenever you're only when you're running, but not when you're walking. Well, it will get worse over time. So that is one thing I realized all of my patients that had leakage, they were Medicare age when I was at the hospital. So they all said, I said, tell me when your symptoms started. They're like, well, when I had kids. Great. How old are your kids? Well, 48, 43. And I'm like, oh my heavens. So after several years, which shame on me, after several years of hearing this, I started trying to be more proactive with my clients that were younger. That's still probably my biggest struggle, but also my biggest passion. So leakage is number one. Number two is pelvic pain. So my patients with pelvic pain do tend to seek me out after a while. So pelvic pain, by definition, is anyone that experiences pain with intercourse, difficulty or pain wearing tampons. If they have vulvar pain, which means pain on the outside of the vulva, and that is by quote unquote definition of true pelvic pain. So those people tend to see multiple providers over and over and over for several years. They've usually tried everything under the sun, including surgeries, including injections, spinal injections, medications, suppositories, all of those things. They might get stamped with a diagnosis such as endometriosis. They might get diagnosed with something more like chronic pain syndrome, fibromyalgia. Unfortunately, those are just stamped diagnoses. And fortunately, even if you have endometriosis, even if you have chronic pelvic pain, there's still so much that can be done that we can almost eliminate your symptoms just based on being open about changing some habits per se, really diving deep into pelvic floor pain, why you're having pain. And I was also trained by the Institute, or I was trained by the Institute for Birth Healing, but I was also trained by the Integrative Women's Health Institute by Jessica Drummond. So she wrote a book, it's called Outsmarting Endo. And I reference that book a lot to my clients because it's truly about changing your dietary lifestyle to optimize your pelvic pain and to optimize your pelvic needs as a menstruating woman into perimenopause and how it's affected during menopause. And I always tell my clients, like, well, I have endometriosis, so I'm going to have pelvic pain forever. And I'm like, okay, well, I want you to go to Google and I want you to Google endometriosis, pull up the symptoms, pull up pelvic floor dysfunction, pull up vaginismus, pull up dyspareunia. And I just want you to compare what Wikipedia says. And it's fascinating because people are like, oh, so I'm like, so even if you have endometriosis, we can still affect your pain. And people with endometriosis can get their pain almost resolved with pelvic floor therapy, not all the time, but sometimes. And people without endometriosis still have the same symptoms. So who's to say that your pain won't get better? So then I put the ball in their court, because usually by the time my patients with pelvic pain find me, they are significantly down the road of trying to find, they're desperate for any symptom relief. So that's number two. Number three, the most common thing that I see in my clinic, it's actually probably the number one thing I see in the clinic, but I think leakage is common. I think pelvic floor pain is common. But actually, if you are experiencing any low back pain or hip pain, you probably need pelvic floor therapy. Let's just be real. So when I was in PT school, it was a fact when you did musculoskeletal one, which was usually early on, I think it's second semester, musculoskeletal one, you learn all the things. They tell you, hey, FYI, if you work an outpatient, 80% of your patients are going to come in with low back pain. So you need to know everything about low back pain as you can. And you learn protocols, you learn techniques. But let me tell you, the missing link is the pelvic floor. In PT school, I got 1 2-hour lecture and 1 quote-unquote 2-hour lab, which was a joke. The whole thing was a joke because every single patient that comes in also experiences low back pain. Every single client I ever saw, male or female, their pelvic floor was involved. And until I discovered the puzzle pieces of my dysfunction, my SI joint pain, my low back pain, my hip pain, I didn't believe it. So once I started doing true pelvic floor work, I came back from courses asking my patients, hey, I learned this technique. I know that you're here for leakage. But can I try it? I would try it and their back pain would get better. So I was like, well, that was cool. Let me try it again. So I'll try another patient. And then basically I got comfortable. And it was usually the patients that I was really comfortable with that I've been treating for a while, these chronic low back patients, these patients that go into outpatient, they're discharged for 3 months and they're right back in. It's because it's not their back. They have surgeries, spine surgeries, and their symptoms are still there. So anybody with low back pain, anybody with low back pain may or may not have a pelvic floor dysfunction. So if you have low back pain, honestly, your best case scenario is to find a very good pelvic floor therapist because there's good, bad, and ugly of every discipline, right? How do you know if it's a good one? Well, you want to interview them first, but we can dive into that in a minute. Number two, when you are working with a pelvic floor therapist, they are going to look at you typically from head to toe. They are going to look at the way you move, the way that you walk, the way that you squat, the way that you stand. And they're going to look at your spine literally from head to toe. They're going to look at your belly. They're going to work on your belly. They're going to look at your hips, how they move in comparison to all other body parts. And they're going to assess you in all positions. Not many therapists do that. They just assess the low back in sitting or standing, and they're very honed in on the low back. The problem is the low back is also connected to the hips, which is also connected to the pelvic floor. The muscles from the pubic bone to the tailbone wrap around each hole, and the muscles called the levator ani literally elevate the anus. Now, if my pelvic floor is too tight, or one side is rotated, or I don't know, I had a birth trauma, an emergency C-section, or a perineal tear, or literally anybody that's been pregnant is still in what's called the open birth position.
Yes, I want to pause there because I like this is so mind-blowing to me. And for a little background, I have met Amanda in person and she was telling a group of women, all moms, about this conversation and our minds were absolutely blown. We were like, "What?" So, I'm going to let you continue, but let's dive into that. Tell us what is that because I had never heard of that. And all of these other women in the room, we were all so confused of what are you talking about? So I'm going to let you continue.
So the open birth position, I actually learned this from Lynn Schulze with the Institute for Birth Healing, and she's based out of Colorado. And when I learned this technique, it literally catapulted my brain and completed the puzzle. The open birth position for my clients, virtual or in person, is literally the missing link to leakage, pelvic pain, low back pain, hip pain, knee pain, you name it, it's the source. So when you are pregnant and you go into labor, even if you have a demise or an early loss, your uterus still contracts and your uterus is still trying to get baby out. So third trimester, I usually tell people, I don't mess with it if they come to me around 34 weeks. I don't close it out of the open birth position. But in general, your body starts to go into that phasing, dilating phase. So your body, baby's head is descending into the pelvis. Baby's head is going down. Your basement, your dilation, and your stages all happen at one time. It's not like you efface and then you dilate, or dilate and then efface and then drop. Like everything's happening at one time. And so, usually around 36 weeks, your provider is going to check you and you're checking, are you dilated to a one? Oh, you're dilated to a one, 50% efface. That means baby's head is descending into the pelvis. In order for baby to get out, your sit bones, your ITs, your ischial tuberosities, they physiologically have to move out of the way. Your sit bones go out to the side. Your sacrum or your butt bone actually moves out of the way. So if you YouTube a video of a mom delivering specifically on all fours, because it's the easiest way to see it, you'll see that butt bone move about half to a quarter of an inch out of the way. It literally moves backwards or posterior. And the tailbone kicks backwards. So when I demonstrate this on my model, my model will usually break a little bit. So I can't do it all at once, which is concerning, right? Like I should be able to do all of it on the model, but it does break. So all of that has to happen for baby's head to get out, even if you have a C-section, because at some point your labor is being interrupted and you're still aphasing, dilating, going through the stages, no matter what is happening with baby or you and why you need an emergency C-section. Regardless of if you have a vaginal birth or a C-section, you are still in the open birth position until someone closes you out. Now, people will say, well, my provider didn't tell me that. Your provider doesn't know. Number one, their entire job is to make sure you and baby stay alive. That's it. No offense to them. That's their only job. Now, you're seen usually one time, maybe twice if you had high blood pressure or some complications after delivery, but you're seen one time after baby, anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. Locally, where I'm at, there's only two providers that check the cervix after delivery. The other two don't. And so they check the cervix just to see if the cervix and the uterus are moving back down to where they should be. But they literally don't know. They are not musculoskeletal experts. Their job is to make sure baby and you stay alive, the organs are in place. Later on in life, their job is to make sure you don't develop cancer. If you do, they find the route to go through that route. They are not musculoskeletal experts. So it is not their fault that they don't know. I think that's why pelvic floor therapists are so passionate about it, because most providers, physicians particularly, are like, well, you're fine. You had baby. It's now turned to baby. And the problem with that is these women suffer from pelvic organ prolapse. They're suffering from leakage. They're suffering from fecal incontinence, chronic constipation, pelvic pain. The low back pain complex is so complicated that all they're going to do, typically, if you go to an orthopedic or spine doctor, they're going to do an X-ray and they're going to do an MRI. They're going to give you pain medication. They might eventually do an injection, but then their next route is either pain stimulator or surgery. And unfortunately, if I can just close people out of the open birth position, their hip pain, their low back pain, and a lot of their heaviness downstairs can almost be eliminated. Isn't that fascinating?
That is,
So
it's truly mind. I mean, it's, yeah, blows my mind. And I like that you said to it, you know, it's not necessarily the provider's fault because you're right. A, they can't know literally everything. That's why there's specialties. And, you know, that's true in every aspect of wellness, right? Like there are people who specialize in things. So they're going to know more things than a general practitioner. I think what really caught my attention too is that, you know, if we, you know, let's say we're in a open birth position and, you know, is it okay to stay that way if you're not having any symptoms? Or like, would there be a benefit to even just go get checked? Like if someone's listening and they're like, you know, I don't struggle with any of those issues, should I assume that it just closed on its own? Or tell me a little bit about that.
So if I treat my patients while they're pregnant, I have changed my standard of care that regardless if they ever see me postpartum again, I want them to see me 2 to 4 weeks postpartum. So they're scheduled for their postpartum session before they even have baby. And I say 2 to 4 weeks because it's really not very specific on how long after. I just want them on the books. So I can do it the day of, I can do it the day after. Ideally, placenta and the heavy bleeding stop because I feel like your essence, it's still like everything's still moving and your ligaments are so loose. So I try to make it standard of care for preventative. So then you could also argue, well, when is it too late to get closed out of the open birth position? It's never too late, ever. Once you're closed out of the open birth position, you don't go back out unless you have another birth. Now, back to your question of what if I have zero symptoms, no low back pain, hip pain, no pressure, no heaviness, nothing? I still highly recommend it because pelvic organ prolapse and leakage specifically, usually, if you're not symptomatic right after baby, usually people will be like, well, I was fine for about 10 years and then my symptoms started. And it has to do with the muscles of the pelvic floor should have full range of motion. They should be able to fully contract. They should be able to fully relax. Their job at baseline is to support all the organs. Now, I have a few YouTube videos about this, and I have some videos on my Instagram. But basically, if I take the bones or the two pieces that are connecting the muscles together, I take that bone and move it away from each other, then it physiologically can't contract. Can't. The sarcomeres, the overlapping physiology, the pelvic floor muscles cannot contract. So then you add baby, then you add a toddler, then you add, I don't know, a bag of dog food from Walmart. They have to get off the bottom and pick it up and put it over. A case of water, jumping on the trampoline, going to urban air and jumping with your family. You add that increased pressure on your belly and or also your pelvic floor. So over time, even if you don't have immediate symptoms, the muscles themselves can't control or support everything above it. So you, in theory, could be asking for prolapse or leakage sometime in your future. So I highly recommend getting treated, even if you just have no symptoms, just to get out of the open birth position. And again, it's never too late. How do I find a provider? There's very few pelvic floor therapists that can treat this. I do treat virtually, which is fascinating that I can do this. I teach the family and I teach them how to do it themselves. It's harder, obviously, because I can't do it myself. I've had people fly in just for one session, then I do the rest of everything virtually. So that's kind of cool. But getting people out of the open birth position has literally been the catapult to getting people better. And that's
that is
key.
So cool. I love that you shared that. And I mean, so far this episode truly has been so educational, but I'm like learning it and I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Ooh, I definitely have not been officially closed by a pelvic floor therapist. So I'm like, I'm going to need to get on that. You know, can you tell us, I know it's hard because we're only doing audio. And so I'm wondering, is there any like practical tips or things that you could share with anyone listening of things to just start practicing to reinforce the pelvic floor in a positive way? Is there anything audibly that you can describe to our listeners on what to do?
Let's pause the episode for just a minute because I know as moms, we are busy. Sometimes we get so busy that the last thing we feel like we have energy to do is play with our kids. But our kids are craving connection with us. Play is how kids communicate and process the world around them. As a registered play therapist, I love play. But even I have a hard time sometimes playing with my kids. It's hard to come up with what to play or even how to get back into the imagination. Or even to carve out time just to dedicate playing can be really tricky. That's why I created the Ultimate Play Guide. I'll provide you with research-backed benefits of how play impacts not only your child, but it'll actually change you too. You'll get over 30 play activities that support the 6 core areas of play, a worksheet that will help you see the transformation between you and your child, and extra tips when it comes to structuring playtime. Because I believe in the importance of play so much, I'm offering all my podcast listeners 30% off with code PODCAST. This makes it only $12. Use the link in the show notes or go to experiencemotherhood.com. Okay, back to our episode.
Yes, so the number one thing that I teach people how to do, whether they're 2 weeks postpartum or 60 years postpartum, is breathing. So most pelvic floor therapists will tell you the first exercise is diaphragmatic breathing, which is true. So we're going to kind of do this in a twofold because We'll call it threefold. So diaphragmatic breathing is breathing into your belly. So most yogis are really good at diaphragmatic breathing. People that sing in choir or professionally are very good at diaphragmatic breathing. So if you just are leaning up against a chair or lay on your back and put one hand on your chest, one hand on your belly, and just take a nice deep breath in and breathe out. And then you want to do it again and you say, okay, what's moving more, my top hand on my chest or my bottom hand on my belly? And so what you want to do is intentionally breathe into your belly. When you breathe into your belly, again, this is first line defense. So even if you're still in the open birth position, this is still a wonderful exercise to do. You breathe into your belly, your diaphragm descends down, your organs move just a little bit, and your pelvic floor muscles relax. When we talked earlier, your pelvic floor muscles have to fully contract and fully relax. 99% of my patients cannot relax their pelvic floor. So it's not a contraction problem. It is a relaxation problem. When we are pregnant, our diaphragm is compressed. Obviously, if you remember being largely pregnant, you lean forward and you get a swift diaphragm kick. Your diaphragm is inhibited or it stops working. And so after baby, we are very upper chest breathers and we don't know how to engage our diaphragm. So simply Googling or YouTubing, there's tons of pelvic floor therapists out there that are talking about diaphragmatic breathing. The second type of breathing that you don't want to miss is called 360 breathing. And so Sarah Duvall is a exercise based physical therapist. She is a women's health pelvic floor physical therapist. She has phenomenal video footage out there and about diaphragmatic breathing and 360 breathing. So 360 breathing is different. So diaphragmatic breathing is breathing down into the belly, not pushing the belly down, but breathing, simply breathing into the belly. My belly rises up and then I breathe back to baseline. 360 breathing is I put my hands on the outsides of my ribs and I take a nice deep breath in and my ribs should be expanding in all directions. And so based on how your ribs are or aren't moving will definitely impact your functional mobility. Most people have a hard time breathing backwards because of our posture. That's the short version of that. So number one exercise is diaphragmatic breathing regardless. The number two is most people don't know how to contract their pelvic floor correctly. So I'm going to teach you.
Yes, please.
Audibly. And this is assuming that you have no pelvic pain. You don't have tightness, pelvic pain with intercourse, pain with tampon use, because you don't want to do contractions if you have pain. Now, leakage is a catch-22. Most of the time, people are too tight anyways. So if you do this next quote-unquote exercise and you can't figure it out, you're doing it and you're bearing down, or you aren't getting better quickly as in like within a week, then likely you have too much tension. So you need to go down the tension route before you go back to this. So when you do the breathing, you want to breathe into the diaphragm, breathe in, do nothing, let the belly go, breathe out. And instead of going to baseline, you actually want to contract your pelvic floor up. No booty activation, no leg activation. It's like you're picking up a blueberry with your vagina.
That's a great visual. We're all just picturing this now.
So I can try to find the exact one to put in your show notes if you want me to.
Yes.
But I did randomly, I bought some blueberries for my kids because they love blueberries. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have told somebody six times today, six different people, this exact analogy. So I made an Instagram reel on it and actually did pretty good. But it's literally just all you're doing is picking up the blueberry. So then I teach people how to do it on their back, on all fours, are the two main areas to try to do. And that's really on all fours, especially postpartum, is how I usually start. So just that blueberry pickup is the vaginal, is the picking blueberry with your vagina, is the gentle squeeze. If you have true weakness, then we do engage the adductors, the inner thigh muscles, the glutes, which is back behind. And we do a lot of what are called accessory muscle activation to help the pelvic floor. But generally, just trying to see if you're contracting it correctly, you want to do a gentle breathe in, do nothing, breathe out, and a gentle blueberry pickup. Most people, when they do a pelvic floor squeeze, they hold their breath and they're like, huh? And I'm like, no, 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 no. Or they squeeze their butt and you see their whole butt move. And I'm like, girl, your butt muscles are fine. Your inner thigh muscles are probably too strong. Let's see just what the pelvic floor muscles are doing. Now, if you're still wide open, the open birth position, then likely the muscles may or may not contract. So what you can do is just take your fingertips, sit on a chair, and you want to find your sit bones. So you find your sit bones, you go to the inside of your sit bones, and then you can feel your levator ani, your pelvic floor. So let's say we're sitting on our hands right now, and I want to do a nice, good belly breath. I should feel my pelvic floor relax into my hands, not push. And then I want to do a gentle pelvic floor blueberry pickup squeeze, and I should feel my muscles contract underneath. Say I can't, or it hurts when I put my hands in the inside of my sit bones. That means you have pelvic tension. So then the tension needs to be released before the pelvic floor muscles can contract. Which I have a whole nother analogy on trampolines and pelvic floor muscles, how they should be nice and squishy and all the things. But the diaphragmatic breathing, 360 breathing, and the blueberry pickup are your three takeaway exercises. Now, I'm going to go back to leakage because this is really important, and I should probably do a video about this sometime. Let's say I have leakage and I did that. I did the blueberry squeeze and I'm fine, and I'm doing all the workouts and I'm fine. The main reason for people to have leakage is they're in the open birth position. They're too tight. They need to work on their tension. And the something called pressure management. So you take a balloon, you lay on your back, and you put one hand on your belly, and you try to blow up the balloon. When you blow up the balloon, I want to know, when I'm obviously doing a virtual appointment or I'm with my clients, I'm looking at their belly. Does their belly go down and out or up and in?
Interesting.
So if your belly goes down and out, that means every single thing you do, picking up your kids, picking up your dog, picking up water off the floor, exercising, sneezing, your pelvic floor muscles are going south, your organs are going south, and your pressure is poor. And you're uncoordinated. Tell people, Santa Claus, your belly should not be jolly and bounce down and out. My son is probably the best one to describe how your belly should go. I should videotape him sometime. Take his shirt off and watch the little kids laugh. Their bellies contract up and in. They are coordinated and their pressure is really good. Watch them blow up a balloon. Their belly muscles come in and contract up and in. So when I blow up the balloon, my pelvic floor muscles should come up and in, and my belly should be sucking up and in. So that's a good trick and exercise to see if your pressure management is not good, and if that's the source of your leakage. Again, if you have too much tension, you won't be able to do any of that without finding some dysfunction. But that's kind of the takeaways: the diaphragmatic breathing, the 360 breathing, and the blueberry pickup. But then you can also test yourself with a balloon.
These are fantastic. I plan to try all of these. And what I love too, and I was going to say earlier with the breathing, it just, my mind is always just so blown away with how simple breathing is and how crucial it is for, you know, now not only your physical health, but how it ties to your mental and emotional health and your brain. I mean, it just blows my mind. I just can't even, I don't even have words for how important breathing is. And I know everybody's sick of hearing everybody, especially therapists, because we're always like, take a deep breath, you know, but I mean, there's nothing better than that. And I mean, honestly, I feel like wherever you are, you know, whether you're in pain or you're in emotional pain, it's just taking that time to to focus on your body and just breathe. But I like those other two techniques too. I feel I'm like already thinking, do I have a balloon at home? I'm going to go try this.
Yeah, they have them at the dollar store. You're good.
Yes. I love that. This has been such an amazing conversation. I really hope that everyone listening is like really thinking about their pelvic floor. They're thinking about their own experiences physically after children, whether it was a C-section or vaginal. And really, I just want everybody to walk away with those practical tips that you said, because I think it's so important. And moms, we put ourselves down all the time and we're always on that back burner. It's time to come to the front burner. It's time to move forward. We got to take care of ourselves, because we can't take care of anybody else until we take care of ourselves. It's really true. Amanda, so you've talked a lot about your videos on YouTube and Instagram. Can you tell everybody, you know, all your handles, all the websites, where can everybody find you?
So my Instagram is Rooted Physical Therapy. Rooted Physical Therapy. My website is just www.rootedphysicaltherapyllc.com. My Facebook page is the same picture as my Instagram, and it's Rooted Physical Therapy as well. Try to make it nice and easy. The Catch 22 is my TikTok account. TikTok, I think I have it set to be Rooted Physical Therapy, but technology is not my friend. And TikTok is, it's either Rooted Physical Therapy or it's Dr. _ Amanda Thompson PT, underscore PT. But I will link them in the show notes.
Yeah.
My YouTube channel, I don't have very many videos on there just yet. My YouTube channel, if you just Google or YouTube Dr. Amanda Thompson PT, it should pop up. And then what's cool about this episode is we're filming it in December, and my month is trying to do delivery December, but it's because in January, I'm launching my very first guide, and it's a PT's guide to postpartum care. And so it does have exercises, the first 6 weeks of exercises to do, but it's everything that nobody talks about for postpartum care. And so for your listeners, if you use the Experience Motherhood code, it is a great gift for anybody that's pregnant specifically, because they do need this information before they give birth, but it's also not something that if they get it after baby, they can't start from week 3 or 4 or a few weeks out. It's really trying to hone in on what everybody should have postpartum. So that is coming out. And then there's going to be a follow-up course that's going to be the guide plus the course.
That's amazing. Those will be
accessible.
I'm so excited. I know a lot of listeners are going to want to definitely, you know, tap into that. And even with the discount code, I mean, this really would be such an amazing, just a gift. And it's a different gift for a pregnant friend or your sister or sister-in-law or whoever. Because I think you're right. It's something where, yeah, it's not maybe like frilly. It's not like cute baby clothes, but it's so important. And I think, you know, as we've talked this whole conversation, it's just bringing to light that there's so many things about a woman's body that is still so not known. And we're discovering these things and how important it is to take care of the physical body just as much as the emotional and mental part of our body. So thanks for sharing all of your knowledge today, Amanda. It's been truly awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope this episode really brought so much value to your experience in motherhood. Please take a minute to rate and review this podcast and make sure that you're subscribed so you don't miss the next new episode. Until next time, go experience motherhood.